This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny and Dusty.
My Uncle Gus is the uncle that liked to work the grill. As soon as he walk in the house, he's like, get away from that grill. You don't know how to start no fire.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
We're going to eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Chad, throw the mat. Now that's a fire.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm not cooking a brontosaurus burger.
The Fan.
Now we're number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. We're going to party on here as yesterday Oregon had their pro day. A lot of eye-popping results. Cam Alexander had himself a day. So did Dante Manning at their pro day. But Tez Johnson opted against running a 40-yard dash. And there's a mixed review as to his reasoning and his explanation as to why. Tez said that you can watch the tape and see that can't nobody catch me. I don't really think the 40 defines you as a football player. It just shows that you can run a fast time. He said, that's my time. I'm going to own up to that. When they say Tez Johnson 4.51, that's what I ran. And so he just opted to not run the 40 yesterday. And he ended up running routes, catching balls, doing most of everything else. But the 40 was an important thing for Tez Johnson because he ran a 4.51, which is 29th out of 39 receivers at the combine. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was the slowest of any player under 170 pounds mm-hmm. since 2003. But the mixed reviews is people, there's people saying, you know, why wouldn't you want to compete, go out there and prove everybody wrong and run? Why don't you run the 40 again? Prove to us that you're faster than that.
And which I think is a fair thing to ask. But on the flip side.
Well, I don't think it is either. I absolutely loved what Tez said because we talked about this when he ran a 4.51. Watching him play football, it is not, he is not a 4.51 in pads and in a game. He did run the fastest three cone drill of any receiver at the combine. That's what makes Tez special is his explosiveness in and out of breaks, his quickness. In the fact that once he gets a ball in his hands, it's not a factor of I'm going to outrun you to the end zone. When he catches something underneath, he's going to make the first guy miss. He mm-hmm. talked about this through the course of the season where he said, I look for the third guy because the first two, I know I'm going to make a miss. Now, in the NFL, probably not going to make the first two miss. But that's how he operates because of his explosiveness and his quickness, that first step twitch is what makes Tez Johnson special on a football field. I think Tez is also right in this, in that his 40 time, if a team watches his film and gets scared off by the 40, probably not a team you're going to want to play for anyways.
No.
If the 40 means that much to you.
Look, I mean,
because his 10-yard split wasn't bad.
The one I always go back to is Anquan Boldin has basically one of the worst 40 times for a wide receiver ever.
Yep.
And he was just fine.
Just fine.
Just fine.
It's rare that a receiver is actually running 40 yards on a route.
No.
Okay? That's the other thing. I get with Tez, it isn't as much about his 40 time as it is his weight.
Yeah.
154 pounds.
He's tiny.
Is very small. And there is the idea that, well, you know, can't get hurt if you don't take licks. And he doesn't take a lot of them. But that Michigan game where he gets hit on the sideline, they go full weight of the defender mm-hmm. on his shoulder, and he was out for a few weeks. I mean, that's going to be a question that teams are going to ask in the NFL. It's also, did Tez Johnson hurt his draft stock by running a 4.51?
Probably not.
Definitely not. No.
You don't think that it knocks him down for a team that might have been interested? I think there's at least one team that probably dinged him there.
No, because he wasn't going to be a...
The Raiders, because speed is everything.
Yeah,
Darius Hayward Bay.
He was not going to be a first, second, third, heck, even like fourth round pick. He was going to be like a fourth through seventh guy in his projections. So when you talk about hurting your draft stock, sure, if a team maybe flags him for that, it wasn't like he dropped from a first or second round grade down to where he's at now.
Sure.
He's still in the range that he was going to be in regardless of what he ran the 40 in. But he's just saying, look, if you can watch tape and you can honestly tell me that
I play as a guy like
4.51, that's on you. That's not going to be on me. And dude, more power to him. He's a good dude. And
look, I'll say this as the non-Oregon guy. I never watched Tez play football and thought he was slow.
He isn't, because he's not.
You know what I mean? Like, I never go, man, he's not making separation, because what you always saw was Tez making separation.
There's a lot in the NFL that is a big question mark for Tez Johnson, but his ability to run, if you're going to knock him for that, then do that at your own peril. It will be interesting to see kind of where he goes, though, because fit is going to be so important for him. If Tez goes to Miami, perfect fit for him, mm-hmm. right? If he goes to, just take the McVay tree. If he is in LA, Miami, I don't think Green Bay with LaFleur is the best fit for him. But
Minnesota's a place that I could see him if they didn't already have Jordan Addison.
Yeah, but they're not going to run this. They're not going to be, because Jordan Addison is now an outside guy. He's going to be a slot guy. He's going to be an underneath guy. And that is where Tampa and Jacksonville mm-hmm. would be good spots for him to land because of the way they use their slot receivers. And then everybody's going to just go because of Bo Nix. Like Denver is Sean Payton's system, catch and then get your yards. Mm-hmm. Things being underneath, that's where he is going to thrive in. It's very limited. I mean, we just went through there's only a handful of teams that fit really sticks with Tez Johnson.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to see where he lands and what his career looks like, though, because of the variables that are at play. He's undersized, didn't run a great 40 time, but when you see him run routes, you're like, damn. He's good.
It's to make the NBA comparison. It's the guy that you say, like, well, stats don't say this or that. I'll use Nate Clifford at Colorado State. It's like, yeah, he can score. It's like, well, he's doing it at Colorado State. And I'm like, look, man, I was talking to a scout. And they're like, where do you have him? I'm like, I have him at the tail end of the lottery, like 15, 16, 17. And he goes, why do you have him so high? He goes, I know some of the other guys that have him that high. I go, because at some point in time, just getting it done matters. And, like, being a player matters.
Yeah. I think if they're doing their evaluations, just go and ask a Big Ten defensive coordinator who kept them up at night.
Yeah, who are they worried about?
But 15 was a big reason why. All right. This may be one of the most niche things ever, and Trailblazers' Casey Holdall even said it on Twitter when I posted it. You guys in your Masters. One thing, Casey, love you, but you can go straight to hell on this.
Yeah, I'm with Casey on this.
No way.
I'm with Dusty on this.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. All right. Well, Danny's going to be a sourpuss over here, even though he claims himself to be a foodie.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Hey, the NCAA tournament gets officially underway tomorrow with the round of 64. We have the first four. I'm not calling that anything. The madness begins tomorrow. And our annual party is back. George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law presents Fan Madness tomorrow and Friday at the Stadium Sports Bar at A&A. Dirt and Sprague, Danny and Ortner, Isaac and Souk, in the area's top location for the two best days of the tournament. Fan Madness is also brought to you by Coors Light and video only. Come by, party, hang out, join Fan Madness tomorrow
blast,
and Friday,
man,
at A&A.
And we've got I've already got some guests locked in, to dive into the college basketball. The machine, Kevin Pelton, will join us on Friday.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. It's always great to have KP on, especially this time of year, because he has all the modeling and stuff that we'll talk about with NBA prospects that are in the tournament.
Okay. Well, the madness is all tomorrow. Join us at A&A in the Stadium Sportsbook. But when the madness starts, that means that once it wraps up, the Masters is right around the corner. And Scottie Scheffler unveiled his Champions Dinner menu. I love this every year when it comes out. You don't like it, and you're a foodie, and you don't get in on the Masters Champions Dinner?
It's whatever.
What do you mean?
I don't get why everybody's so fired up about it. He went out there and went like Applebee's on you.
Are you talking appetizers, cheeseburger sliders, firecracker shrimp with sweet Thai chili and sriracha mayo? This is right up your alley.
Oh, look, the food choices were fine. But I was like blown away by this because he went with the Chili's dinner.
Papa Chef's meatball and ravioli bites? Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Sure. This sounds like a delicious dinner.
Sure, you know, it's good.
His first course is Texas-style chili, a main course of wood-fire cowboy ribeye or blackened redfish. Damn, mac and cheese, jalapeno cream corn. Mm-hmm. This sounds amazing.
That sounds
glazed
good.
Brussels sprouts, chipotle lime with a warm chocolate chip skillet cookie with vanilla bean ice cream. I love this. Every year when these come out, it's because you can definitely tell by the golfer who wins the Masters
that he has the palate of a child.
No. If they are a relatable person, and Scheffler is relatable.
Oh, for sure. There's nothing pretentious on the menu.
John, and why do you go palate of a child? Did you not listen to what is in there?
Yeah.
And did you hear what it is? It's like Texas-style barbecue, but the fanciest of the fancy kinds.
Again, it strikes me as like Applebee's or Chili's, man.
Oh my God. And you consider yourself a foodie.
Yeah, I mean, look, sometimes Applebee's and Chili's is where you want to go.
It is wildly similar to what he did in 2023 when he won. He did sub out tortilla soup for the chili.
Yeah.
I think that's a VIP move there.
There you go.
I think that is a VIP move.
Well, I read that he made the swap because other golfers were saying the tortilla soup was way too spicy.
Oh,
you got the Europeans. It has pepper in it, so.
All right, what do you think about Hideki Matsuyama's 2022 Champions Dinner? Is this
a palate of a child?
Assorted sushi, sashimi, yakitori chicken skewers, miso glazed black cod. He went Miyazaki Wagyu beef, A5 Wagyu beef ribeye mixed with mushrooms, vegetables, Sensho daikon ponzu, and then Japanese strawberry shortcake after.
Okay, yeah. That's a little higher end.
God, you are a pretentious food guy.
Well, no, I'm just saying, if you're talking, like, it's the Masters, man. He's got some great A5 Wagyu. Yeah, he's doing better than the wood-fired ribeye.
Well, you don't know what kind of, you don't know where it came from. You don't know where it came from.
Didn't you just say it was Japanese grade A5?
No, I'm talking about Scottie Scheffler's. I'm talking about Scottie Scheffler's, man. Well, you think he's gonna? You think they're gonna skimp on the quality of the meat here?
No, look, it's probably a really nice ribeye. It's probably a nice American ribeye.
You're damn right.
Probably
it is.
comes from the four sixes, huh?
Maybe. Dustin Johnson went. I think Scottie Scheffler's. It's up there as one of, if not the best, Masters dinners. Dustin Johnson went pig in a blanket, lobster and corn fritters.
Ugh.
House salad, mashed potatoes and spring vegetables, filet mignon, or miso marinated sea bass, and then peach cobbler or apple pie with vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, that's got a little touch to it there.
That one is solid. That one is solid.
But look, I'm not saying Scotty's got a bad menu.
Are you okay? What about this menu? All right, tempura shrimp, spicy tuna, avocado, eel sauce.
Ooh.
Tempura flakes with pickled ginger wasabi soy sauce for sushi on your appetizer. A prime steak and chicken fajitas.
Ooh.
With grilled vegetables, refried beans, Mexican rice, pico de gallo, sour cream, guac, tortilla. And then classic flan churros.
Ooh.
With chocolate sauce.
That's a bit of... Who had that?
Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Look, Tiger went with a little Japanese, little Mexican... Yeah. Finished with the Mexican pow right there.
Yeah. I'm curious what his first one was when Fuzzy Zeller said he was surprised he didn't go with fried chicken and watermelon.
Boy, that was the last we heard of Fuzzy Zeller.
Wow. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, that's a brutal one. I love when we see these Masters menus because you would think golfer Scottie Scheffler would go pretentious menu that Danny's looking for. But he went everyman.
He went everyman.
And I think it's a low-key, solid play to go such heavy food.
I was literally thinking that was swapping the tortilla soup for the chili.
Those guys, all those golfers are just going to be farting and crapping all night long. And that's an advantage Scottie Scheffler because he's used to that Texas barbecue.
His system is used to processing it.
But the Texas chili, though,
that's no beans, though, right? Is it a proper Texas chili, no beans?
I believe so.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of beef. A lot of spices, too. It's good. They're going to hit you with that.
Well, that's the thing. That's where the home field advantage comes into play. You got to make sure you use the heavy spices here because the Europeans just aren't used to it.
I get into this Masters menu quite a bit. I love seeing it every year and then looking at the past champions dinners and just being like, I feel like I could hang out with this guy. And I think prison Scottie Scheffler is somebody that I could hang out with now.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like if you're one of those English Scottish golfers and if you've ever stumbled into the world of TikTok that has the people that come over from the UK and try food with spice in America for the first time, number one, like, mild to medium is the hottest thing they've ever had in their entire life.
Yeah.
Number two is like they don't understand that their food is allowed to have flavor.
Okay. I will show you Danny Willett's. Danny Willett, Irish, I think.
Okay.
Mini cottage pies.
Uh huh.
A Sunday roast, which was prime rib, roast potatoes, vegetables, Yorkshire pudding gravy, with an apple crumble and vanilla custard.
Yeah,
and coffee and tea.
Yeah, basic and flavorless as you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, that was Danny Willett. To your point, that was Danny Willett's. Yeah, I'm with you. Spieth had I like the Southern boys. They're bringing it. Spieth had a good one. Scheffler, I think, is knocking it out of the park. I think that dinner, you're telling me you would not love to have that dinner that Scottie Scheffler put out there?
Oh, no. Again, every now and then you want to make the trip to Applebee's or Chili's. I'm not against it.
But this is not Applebee's or Chili's. What you're saying is like...
Look, it's the higher end of like what you would get there, sure.
But no,
it's like
this is what you would get at the Ringside or El Gaucho.
No.
They have sliders. Okay. They have firecracker shrimp. They have ribeyes. And so you're going to sit there and say, yeah, that's an Applebee's? Get out of here.
I'm just saying.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Look, you don't go get the sliders at El Gaucho. You go get the steak.
But that's why it's an appetizer. This is why they're drinking, they're having their, you know, bourbon, and they're sitting around, and all the past champions are talking, and they're green jackets. And then they say, all right, go take a seat, and we're going to hit you with the main course.
There you go.
And you're going to be farting all night.
I mean, look, look, ribeye is my favorite cut, so I'm getting down with a ribeye. You know, when I go to one of the steakhouses here, that's what I get. So I get it.
Cowboy ribeye.
I get it.
But you, and so you're calling that Applebee's? You get the Applebee's order then when you go to a nice steakhouse?
I go very simple, man.
I think you're hating just to hate on this one.
I'm not, again, I wasn't hating on it, but I just don't get excited.
What would your
about
master's
it?
Dinner be then?
Oh, God. What way would I go? I'd probably go lamb. That'd probably be the path that I'd go.
Some baby killer.
Yeah. With perhaps some mint jelly. I definitely, my I don't really have a ton of favorite desserts. So my two favorites are cheesecake and lemon bars. So it'd probably be one of those two.
Okay.
But appetizers, I like the idea of the sushi because I'm a big sushi.
So you're gonna go sushi to lamb.
Hmm.
That's a choice.
Yeah.
Now you're finding out how hard it is to put this menu together.
The thing, like, I love sushi and I love lamb. So you know, you know what I'd probably do? I'd probably do like a Mediterranean start.
There you go.
That's probably what I'd go.
See,
with.
I appreciate he's got.
It all comes together.
Texas
yeah.
dinner.
Yeah.
This is Texas family dinner, but fancied up. We just went to church. This is Sunday dinner down in Texas.
I definitely lean pretty Mediterranean, I think. It would go one of two ways. It would go Mediterranean or Mexican.
See, exactly. But your initial thought was to just go all a little taste of the world.
Yeah.
And I think that would be widely dragged.
Yeah. Well,
would not make sense.
Well, I mean, Tiger went sushi into fajitas.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
he went Asian fusion.
Yeah, look, shout out to Koi Fusion, man. Well, I'm about that life. Look, you're talking about two of my favorite foods. Fajitas and sushi are pretty damn high.
Yeah, but that's a far cry because the Asian Mexican fusion actually is a thing.
It does exist.
The lamb sushi.
The Mediterranean Asian. Probably not a great one. That's not, again, I just went with two of my favorite foods.
And that's what you would want to go. You play the hits of what you like.
Yeah.
But it's got to make sense.
You could do, because when you go with lamb, you can go so many different ways.
Yeah.
You can go like at a barbecue lamb. Like you could go down that path. You could go down like lamb shanks.
Mm.
You could go rack of lamb and really get pretentious.
Ooh, now we're talking.
Or I could go whatever your second entree is.
I can tell you right now, it wouldn't be fish. As much as I love sushi, I am not a fish guy.
They always have like a fish option.
Yeah. Just,
and that's for the people that don't like fish, though, or that don't like, I don't know, red meat in this case with Scheffler, or eating child sheep. If they don't like that, they would go for the fish option.
I'd probably have to push back that, go chicken?
Chicken? You okay with the chicken?
Or if you want to be really pretentious, instead of chicken, let's go duck. Duck and lamb.
There's a lot of people that would not like that dinner. Mm-hmm. Right,
I'm probably
there.
Skipping that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, opting out. Fuzzy Zeller ain't taking that.
Look, I'm loading up on the sliders.
Look, and that's kind of the point. Yeah. Scottie Scheffler is trying to give him the farts. I'm just being like, starve. You gotta send a message with your meal, Dusty.
I'm picking up what he's putting down there.
You want to pick dinner? When?
Yeah. I have the green jacket. I pick what we eat here. Anybody else? Go take a hike, pally.
Have some fun with it.
This texter says they better hope they never have a Swedish winner.
Oh, God.
Some
lutefisk?
There's
meatballs.
There was no Swedish winners because I do not believe.
Look, man,
Henrik Stenson has won.
Maybe
a
little Lefse.
I am almost. It's what am I? Like almost 60% Irish, and the remaining of me is Danish.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of my people have good food.
Yeah,
at all, in any way, shape, matter, or form.
I have Charles Schwartzel in 2012 went with an iced seafood display as his appetizer.
Yes.
Shrimp, lobster, jumbo, lump, crab meat, oysters, king crab legs. And then he went International Cheese Charcuterie Board. Whatever. And then his featured specialties were, I don't even know what this is, sliced biltong, biltong strix, dorwors, Philadelphia cream cheese topped with Wellington cheese chili sauce. I have no idea what that is. And then they had African barbecue.
Biltong is like jerky.
There you go.
I guess that's not bad. I'd feel like Tom Hanks in Big and just be like, can I get like a milkshake or something?
And he went, yeah. And then he went grilled filet mignon, lamb chops, chicken breast with monkey gland sauce. What is that? I have no idea. So that South Africa, they went. He went traditional to his country.
Yeah, I thought I remembered this. So biltong, it's actually legal in the U.S., but it has to go through an incredibly crazy inspection process because there have been multiple outbreaks of mad cow disease in South Africa.
Oh,
yeah, it's not quite jerky. It's kind of, it kind of looks like charcuterie, but it's usually made with lower grade meats.
Hmm.
Which again, South Africa, this is again why if you're ever traveling the world and your meat is local, don't.
All right. Perfect.
There's like, make sure you're getting like U.S. or
more American meat.
If you're eating red meat around the world, really anywhere, make sure it's U.S. or Japanese.
Okay. Like there we go.
That's kind of a thing if you're going to travel. Otherwise, your stomach may not handle that well.
Yeah. You're going to get the mud butt.
Oh, boy. Not great, Bob.
Mm.
You don't know how good you have it here until you travel the world and you go, oh, my stomach is not prepared for this.
Not it, Bob.
Not great. Speaking of not great, coming up at Worst in the Web, normally we keep it out of the sports world and we keep it out of the political world. We're going to hit both here as the history of Jackie Robinson has been erased, restored, and back again. I don't know. It's all very, very dumb. But we'll get to that in more. But first, the Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
It's time for today's Worst Day on the Web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks!
We're going to do a quick little pivot to get things back on track here. We're going to go into the Jackie Robinson story because it needs more time than we have here. What's the worst thing you could leave behind in a hotel room?
Me personally? I don't know, your wallet?
You know what?
Like that's leaving actually, it?
That's, Dusty, you just nailed it so good because somebody left their live wallet in a hotel room in Michigan, a freaking alligator.
Oh. So they just like checked out and left this gator in the room?
So in Michigan, of all places. So this isn't even Florida manning.
Oh.
So the cleaning crew in Michigan decided they were going to go into the hotel room and they were doing their normal thing, looking under the bed. And thankfully, nobody's head was bitten off because Wally the alligator, a 3-year-old alligator, was found in a hotel room.
So wait, was this like they checked out, left, or gone? Or were they out for the day and were like, you
checked
know what?
Out.
Okay, so they didn't want this alligator anymore, so they just...
No. Dude forgot him.
How do you... Okay, how do you forget your alligator?
So this guy is a owner of Exotic Pets. Number one, the gator, very friendly, took a bunch of pictures and even posed with the cops, didn't take any snaps to anybody.
Now I know. This is Joe Exotic.
This is Exotic Pet owner who like takes them to elementary schools for demonstrations. So he's basically bootleg Jack Hanna.
Yeah.
He goes, I thought he got out. I looked for him and I couldn't find him.
Well, in a hotel room? What? You didn't look very hard.
Yeah, he's 3 foot long.
You did not look very hard. It's a hotel room. Check under the bed. Maybe he was afraid he was going to get his face bitten off when he looked underneath the bed.
Yeah, I mean, let's say it's a little area where you can't quite get your face into. You're just going to blindly stick your hand under the mattress.
Something tells me that he just went with the, hey, Wally, you in here, bud? No, I don't know. He must have got out.
Gone.
But, okay. So did he call in that there was an alligator on the loose?
No.
Okay.
He didn't think it was in the room.
He was just like, got out. Well, not my problem anymore. If it got out, where'd it go, Pally? It went down the hallway?
Also, it's Michigan. It's not like it's like safe.
Oh my goodness. This guy, I like this. And he's the one taking the pets to elementary schools. Mm-hmm. All right. Yep. He definitely is checking all of the boxes there for safety.
Yeah. Yeah. Put a leash on that thing, maybe, dude. But I do love that you went wallet. It's perfect because this is where your wallet starts.
Alligator wallet right there.
There you go. So, yeah. All right, getting things back on track here. We will now get to the Jackie Robinson story, his military history, it being removed from the records. Jeff Passan doing the Lord's work and talking about why what he did and why it was removed and why it's now back. We'll get that more on Danny Dusty today, the fan. There's so many things going on with this story.
Tell me more.
And I have some personal attachment to this. People are like, and let me guess, you're a veteran. Yeah, I know. But I do. And I've actually had this discussion about how we talk about veterans in general. That, to use the phrase, fall under the DEI category. And you're talking about your non-white males. And their service records in the military and things that they've done that have stood out. And this is maybe going to come across as conflicting or combative. But I'll get into the story first and then kind of go into all of this. So in the sweeping changes to rid the military world of DEI, the history of Jackie Robinson's military service was deleted from the interwebs. Was that last night or the day before?
It was, I believe, on Monday, and then people started noticing it yesterday.
So, Jeff Passan, doing the Lord's work, as it were, chronicling all of this, ESPN baseball reporter. And Jackie Robinson, much like so many athletes from that era around World War II, served in the military. And part of his record... And for those that are wondering, this is on the Department of Defense website that chronicles all this stuff. And Jackie Robinson's story is a little bit different because he was an African-American man in World War II before the Civil Rights Movement. And much like the Tuskegee Airmen and so many others, men of color in general, segregation and discrimination were a part of his experience in the military. And the story that is highlighted in his record is that after joining the military, he went to Fort Riley, Kansas. He was commissioned as a second lieutenant before joining the 761st Tank Battalion, otherwise known as the Black Panthers, which is much like the mechanized version of the Tuskegee Airmen in an all-black unit.
And this was also, I mean, one of the parts of Jackie Robinson's story in the military, though, is rising to second lieutenant. He went because he had the qualifications to go to OCS school, officer candidate school, and was denied an application. Yes. And they were all delayed because they were black, right? Yes. Eventually, the United States military relented because there were like protests about not allowing black men to be officers mm-hmm. in the United States military. Well, he eventually finished the OCS mm-hmm. and was a second lieutenant in the United States Army fighting for the United States of America. Pretty good story.
But it doesn't end there. A year later, he boarded an Army bus, and the driver asked him to go to the back of the bus, and Robinson refused. And this is, again, when you had segregated seating on buses still. And this is, you know, more than a decade before Rosa Parks. This is where things get different in that he was court-martialed for this. World is different when you're in the military. What is punitive in the civilian world, or what is punitive in the military world may not be so punitive in the civilian world. But he was later acquitted. I want to say that case actually went on for like a year and a half, if I remember right. But he spent the majority of his career at Camp Breckenridge, where he coached Army athletics. Which,
pretty good coach. I mean, he was a three-sport athlete at UCLA and an All-American.
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. Stories like his, stories like this, the Tuskegee Airmen, the Navajo Code Talkers, mm-hmm. Who were instrumental in their ability during World War II. There's been a couple of different movies that have been made about them.
Wind Talkers.
Yes. truly incredible, because it was a language that was impossible to break without somebody who spoke that tongue.
Japanese were breaking the United States codes left and right because they were in English. Well, Navajo, they had no idea where to even start. It was instrumental.
Yes.
In the Pacific Theater.
In the Pacific Theater, correct. And these stories unequivocally should be told and celebrated for various reasons. Where this, number one, taking it down should not happen.
Mm.
Absolutely not. And let me just get that out there. Because of the pressure, it has now since been restored.
Yep.
On the DoD website. And it should be. Where this becomes an issue for me, other veterans, active service members, is when we talk about the actual DEI stuff.
Yeah.
It's very different. And I'm going to sound, this is going to irritate some of you. DEI has no place in the military. None. Absolutely none when you're talking about the selective service. None. We do not need equity or diversity in the military in the sense of quotas or meeting or matching. You want anyone and everyone who qualifies. You are not looking to lower standards for anything or anyone.
Standards should not be lowered. I agree with standards not being lowered. That is not a diversity, equity, inclusion situation.
No.
That is a national security.
It is a war-fighting apparatus.
It is security of the people that you are around.
But in highlighting the diversity within our services, we should. We were just at Arlington National Cemetery when we went to Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. and it broke me to my core. It was the first time I had been inside the gates. And when you go up and down, there are sections that are lined with women. There are sections that are lined with African-American service members. There are sections that are lined with Jewish members.
Yep.
There are sections that, like, every bit of diversity. And that was also removed from the Arlington National Cemetery website, not highlighting the sacrifices of those communities. Not that is different than talking about standards.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can celebrate all of this stuff, and we should celebrate all this stuff, particularly with how despicably we have treated some of those groups across the military.
No doubt about it.
Because, and this is the same thing that I will believe and I will hold true no matter what. If you're old enough and you are true enough to sign that dotted line, I don't give a damn who you believe in, what you look like, where you came from.
Yeah.
There is no bigger melting pot in this country than the military. It's all walks of life. Poor, rich, every race, every level of intellect, damn near, from, you know, the MIT graduates all the way down to the crayon-eating Marines. Yes, I'm taking my shots here, you guys. Mm-hmm. Deal with it. We need to celebrate those that stand out in those communities.
And that is true. And look, they're going to reinstate Jackie Robinson's post, but the reality of it is that, look, they're taking anything DEI down, which is anything that is not white male. And that is also an issue.
Yes.
That is a big issue, because that isn't a DEI mandate. I mean, you can call it what it is. You are sitting there and removing every other race and gender except for white males. That's a problem, right? That is racist and sexist pretty clear.
Yeah,
right?
And
just by taking all of it out, including guys like Jackie Robinson, yes. right? Like, we were in at Arlington National Cemetery, we were hosting our show mm-hmm. from the Women of Military Museum,
yes.
right? Taking all of it out. There is no place in that, because highlighting the sacrifices and the contributions mm-hmm. that they had, that's not DEI. Like, look, there is, with the whole, you know, the quote unquote wokeism mm-hmm. has gone in some instances way too far.
Yes.
Right? Sometimes it has, but that's not what this is fighting. And like, I had to go to Jeff Passan's Twitter page just to make sure it wasn't like we're getting ball sack sports on this. And I had to make sure it was like the verified Jeff Passan with 1.2 million followers, because the response when Passan reached out to the Department of Defense, it was mind-blowing what their response was. This is from the press secretary of the Pentagon. As Secretary Hegseth has said, DEI is dead at the Defense Department. Discriminatory equity ideology is a form of woke culture Marxism that has no place in our military. It divides the force, erodes with cohesion, and interferes with the services of core warfighting mission. We are pleased with the rapid compliance of the department and the directive removing DEI content from all platforms. In the rare cases that content is removed, either deliberately or by mistake, that is out of the clearly outlined scope of the directive. We instruct the components and they are correct with the content accordingly.
There is a part
that, that's not what happened here.
No, there is a part of that that, like, I agree
with. Crazy. But and also changing what DEI is, they quite literally changed diversity, equity, and inclusion to discriminatory equity ideology.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even changing that, how does that explain away what they did, erasing basically everything that was not, like you said, white male?
Right.
And that lies the problem. And
there you go.
Because here's the thing. It's great when we can celebrate the first, you know, African-American Medal of Honor winner. But when you're talking about those kind of things, the fact that that person is different than the white male.
Yeah.
And this is the part where I'm probably going to irritate some people. I don't think we necessarily need to celebrate that what they are. Because as a military, that's not supposed to matter.
And it's the heroes, it's the sacrifices,
yes, and the collective.
And remembering and celebrating those people, regardless of
anything.
Your race, gender, ethnicity, it does not matter. And that's the part that is just like, it's soul crushing that it's like the erasing of all of it.
Yeah.
All of the contributions that have been made to our military, to our country, like that's the part that it hurts, because it's all just getting lost in some political bickering that is happening right now.
Because, and here's the thing, and this isn't like a slippery slope, and I know we're up against it, but where I understand this, being on the other side, and I'm sure there's people that are texting in right now are kind of backing me up on this, and that are veterans, in the sense of, if you celebrate one, you have to celebrate this one, and 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 this one. And for those of you that have not served in the military, that's not what it's about. It's about the collective. It's about the whole. It is about all of us. And while we can uplift and we can absolutely and should celebrate exceptional experiences like the Code Talkers, like the Tuskegee Airmen, like Jackie Robinson, this is going to sound weird, but we have to be careful how far we go with that.
Yes.
Because it can't ever be bigger than the whole. And I do get that argument, and I know there's some nuance in there, and some people are like, but, I'm just saying, as somebody that's been on the inside of that fence, you do have to be careful with that stuff, because all of this is precedent, and all, like, how you talk about awards and how you talk about everything, if you want to cry, go to the Medal of Honor website and read a citation.
Yep.
If you can get through it without crying, you don't have a soul. And I don't care who they are or where they came from, because what they did stands out above everyone else.
Yep.
And that should be the standard for all of this stuff. It doesn't mean we can't acknowledge it, nor we should acknowledge it.
We should not ignore it and act like it didn't happen.
Exactly. And I think that's the problem, is that right now, politically, you've got two extremes that can't come to even normal semblance of thought.
These stories of Ted Williams and Jackie Robinson should be celebrated as one, because those were two guys that they put their professional baseball careers mm-hmm. completely to the side, whether it was by choice or by the draft. Mm-hmm. But then they went and they served their country valiantly. And that needs to be celebrated.
Yes, because, and again, those are exceptions.
Yeah.
And we, for grand exceptions, we can make those rules. Yeah. Otherwise, tighten it up. I'm not okay with that. So, like I said, we don't usually dive into this stuff one, but this one we had to. So, as we get back on track here, the Portland Trailblazers start a 4-game stretch here at home that will basically make or break what they do this season. We'll get to that here next on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.